Radio, MD.com.
Your eyes are the window to your health. Time to learn more with Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
So, let's talk about brain games. Do they work? Who says they work? How long do they work? What's it good for? A memory? Throwing a baseball? Helping you solve complex problems? Or even one problem? Let's go through what some of the experts who have written on the subject say. I'm sure people have missed their keys, appointments, forgotten where to turn, seen people's faces, but forgot the name, at least temporarily. And so the worried well start wondering, what do I do to improve this? So we see advertised so many of these different brain games. And the sales pitch tells you that your brain will thank you, and other wonderful monikers. Now, it's alluring, and it obviously does something, and your friends may be doing it. So you wonder, do we do that, or will we actually be improving ourselves at all? So computerized brain training games seem like an appropriate idea. They're based in part on evidence that living in an enriched environment with lots of mental stimuli produces positive brain changes. And, you know, you can agree there's huge potential for tapping into your neuroplasticity, that is your brain's ability to remodel, and to enhance mental fitness, and perhaps prevent age-related memory decline and even macular degeneration. But it's been very hard to establish benefits for the risk of macular degeneration and dementia. So the question is, where does theory get tested and what kind of studies? Question is, how do we build a greater cognitive reserve? Most of the early studies were done on rodents, so I don't know how many of you have a brain similar to a rodent, even though 96 or 98% of our chromosomes and genes are the same. So lost in the game buzz is an obvious question. Are the claims true? Are they incremental to a tried and true approaches, such as healthy activities, diet, and even having a job? More than 50 studies have examined the benefits of brain training in humans, but only a few show persistent benefit and a transfer to real life, which is kind of the real question. Well, a group in the American Geriatric Society, headed by Glenn Smith, created the IMPACT study. What they did, they took cognitively normal older individuals and trained their brain to improve their auditory information processing, the speed by which they can understand something and create an action. 58% people improved, compared to only 7% in controls. Now, these were people 67 to 93, and they had this brain fitness program, but they were using an auditory model. But degeneration changes in the brain's associated cortex may be in any area, and may be visual, auditory, or any other sense. Now, the control group did more conventional cognitive learning, like viewing educational videos in art history. At the end of that period of time, in terms of the visual part, there was only a small difference between those who were acoustically trained and those who were watching videos. They did not follow up to see what the impact was in regular life. Well, Sherry Willis and her colleagues at Penn State did a program that looked at reasoning and processing skills. Subjects were given 10 one-hour sessions plus a booster at several months later. And at 2 years, there was no benefit over controls in terms of improvement in daily activities. However, surprisingly enough, at 5 years, the group trained in reasoning showed much better performance in daily activities, because that really is the bottom line we're looking at. So the results suggest a short training session with periodic boosters may give you a lift. Well, the typical consumer, like you and me, are part of the worried well. So we don't know where we are in this decline and are very anxious to know. We also don't know if we've reached our ceiling. What do I mean by that? Well, let's say you do Sudoku and you get better and better and better at it. You may reach a ceiling in that particular activity that does not confer any greater benefit. And with that in mind, you don't know whether it's going to have any overlap with other functions and improve your computer-determined brain age. Dr. Lowenstein and his colleagues at the University of Miami did a cognitive rehab, kind of like a cardiac rehab, and found that if for 3 months after targeted intervention was completed, the benefits, though likely to degrade quickly, certainly improve favorably to what has been shown with any commercial brain game. So they took people who are minimal Alzheimer's and showed some improvement. So obviously there are techniques that can show improvement, probably in normals and in individuals with early cognitive decline. But these are solitary activities. Exercise, reading, talking with friends, juggling, or other activities that may show benefits, especially exercise shows benefits. So it's important to associate all of these items together in terms of develop a better pattern for keeping your mind fresh. So the question is, are there long-lasting benefits in these programs? Is eating your fruits and vegetables, exercise, new activities, and being a social butterfly just as good? That's a good question, and only you can test whether you're less complicated in your daily life. Now, a whole bunch of signatories, about 77 neuroscientists, got together and wrote a paper talking about these techniques and felt that they really are not very effective. At the Max Planck Institute for Human Development, they said there's no particular trigger for in this improvement. He calls it an expression of a growing collective concern among a large number of cognitive psychiatrists, psychologists, and neuroscience who study the human cognition and aging. So memory based on an individual task rather than a range of tasks represents a limited ability. So whether consumers and brain gaming is really effective or not. Well, people at Duke did a little something different. They compared the possibility of using a portal of testing versus one of these particular games, which was Luminosity. And they found that after a period of time, there were much better gains on people who did that portal that was a practice for different memory activities, both auditory and visual. So we're left with a big dilemma. Does this stuff work? Well, certainly it can be fun. Certainly it can be visual as well as auditory. Certainly it's probably better if it's social, doing new things with new people. We don't know whether we have the gene. We don't know whether our gene is going to be causative for mental decline as we get older. But obviously keeping general health, general nutrition, and socializing and perhaps even spirituality is the best we can do. We're all on that treadmill, so we should have some fun and make good cognitive choices while we're here. So look at games yourself. Do not invest a lot of it in terms of the hype. But actually, if you're interested, find a task that you do before you buy the game and then afterwards. I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Oz on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for paying cognitive attention. See well and stay well.